Alexander Killian, John Killian, amen. A warm welcome as he comes and ministers the word.
Thank you, Pastor John. Bless you. Means lightning, right? In reaction to Daniel Bauer's display of ministry, I think I can't handle that. That's too aggressive. We have done quite a bit of Camp Courages over the years. We took young people into Mexico. We would get between 15 and 18 people, take them into the hardest, roughest parts of Mexico, border towns, and we would train them in evangelism, then release them and go from door to door and store to store and go into some of the most deprived areas of Mexico, the border towns. And we had young people going door to door, inviting people to come to church. But listen, with the invitation of that, they would have about 2 weeks of groceries. And Pastor Dorman Pollitt went a trip with us to Mexico where we had the young people engaged in doing things and preparing things. And so we can prepare for the harvest. Nothing is done without preparation. That's anything in life. Young people. And so I believe the one of the commands and one of the things that the Lord is begin to put on here is to take young people like yourself and begin to release you in this generation to come. I believe the scripture says a child should lead them. Young people, you're going to lead. You're going to be on the cutting edge of this last day great revival. I truly, truly believe in my heart, because you don't have a lot of religiosity. You don't have a lot of religion plugged in your heads. And so listen, you have a heart to begin to hear God and to begin to move at a moment's notice when he begins to speak. And so we take young people like this and we begin to train them. The Bible says that train up a child in the way he or she should go. And when they get older, they won't depart from it. So training is a must. Training is something we must execute to this time and this moment. We must get back to training young people and begin to release them into the things of the ministry. Of all the young people so far, the group that I've taken, and listen, I'm not going to say without stereotype prejudice, but I'm saying this group has so far been the best as far as behavior and character and integrity traits. And so listen, I want to commend you and thank you, listen, for your behavior and your integrity. Amen. Let's give them. This group here, it's a reflection of their parents and the reflection of the church that they're covered under. And so I believe this, that they're not only are they getting great principles at home, but they're getting things of integrity, and they're getting trained up in a very good church and Victory Christian Fellowship. We have a special occasion on Sunday, and that is the birthday of a great friend and a good friend, and his name is Pastor Doug Pishka. Amen. So why don't we just say happy birthday to him, because maybe some of us are not going to be here. Amen? Amen? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. Mark 11:23, turn there, please. We were challenged at the Camp Swatera. Is that how you pronounce it? Today. I like climbing mountains for a reason. Now, I'm 350 pounds, and a lot of people have a hard time believing that. I felt that here, brother. I don't let something big like myself stop me from getting up to the mountain, getting to the top. And as long as I push myself, I believe, and begin to discipline myself, discipline my mind and my body, brother, I got it again. I'm going to begin to start losing weight and getting in better shape as I begin to climb that mountain. And then what's going to happen is I'm going to be starting to flow into things. And as Pastor Doug was beginning to say last night, he talked about inheritance. He talked about being heirs to the things of God. That everything that God has promised to us here on this earth has already been developed, or already, listen, has already been a standard, and is the standard is for us to bring all the things and the promises of heaven down here to earth. That's His promises to us. And listen, we know by the Spirit who we are, because we are the sons and daughters of God. And if we're the sons and daughters of God, then we're heirs to God, and then we're co-laborers with Christ, and we're co-heirs with Him in the things of Christ. So everything that belongs to us belongs from God to us. Now, those promises are not given to us basically through the translation of just given to us. And that's what we have to begin to understand here in the American culture, that even young people, we are so used to our parents giving us things and things handed over to us, that I think that's not really the principle of what God wants to begin to share with us. There's got to be some willingness and sacrifice on your part to get the inheritance and to get what God has promised you to get. And so that is the mode, or that is the category of Camp Courage. Now, we heard Air Force. Now, the reason Air Force gets most of our budget, basically the most of the taxpayers' money go to the Air Force, is because of the technology and because of the air superiority. Anytime, listen, you're advancing in high places and you're seeing more than what a person sees, it's going to cost more to advance to look out. And so you're going to see that America involves a lot of its income and money into air superiority. And so that's why the Air Force have the best facilities, the Air Force have the best foods, because most of the money goes to the Air Force because of its positional statement, because of what it's made to do. How many see that? Are we hitting something here? And so when you, well, look now, you don't have to send a pilot. A pilot can go a couple hours to his workplace and get on one of those drones and have like 5 or 6 bombing missions and go home. He doesn't basically even have to, you know, get out of his, he doesn't even have to be 1 hour away from his house. He's actually flying those drones and he's completing missions. Now, the thing is, we're going to start getting a lot of revelation. We're going to start getting a lot of things. God's going to start showing us dreams and visions and prophetic words and prophecy. He's going to start showing us all this information. And it's going to come in a spiritual way. Listen, young people, you're going to have dreams and visions in these end times that you have to be careful who you share it with, because they'll either get jealous or they won't have an understanding. And remember, that happened with Joseph, did not he? He tried to share dreams with his brothers and they got jealous. And sometimes God will put something in your heart, young people, and listen, you have to be careful who you share it with. Share it with somebody who understands about dreams and visions, and it can encourage you to do it. And so we see that through air superiority, that through the things of the Spirit, listen, they're given to us as information. But nothing will ever be possessed, or no territories, or nothing will ever be taken over unless we have ground troops. And so we can have all the revelation, we can have all the dreams and visions and all these things that God is speaking to us. And listen, and we will not advance unless we take our mind, will, and emotions, and we take our body and we advance them there. They're not going to happen. That's why young people on computer games, sometimes you feel like you've accomplished something. Sometimes it's really realistic to you, but it isn't realistic to you. It's realistic. It only becomes realistic, listen, when you possess it, when it becomes yours. And that's the deception sometimes with computer games and so on, that it makes you feel like you've accomplished something and you've done it without doing any work. And that's the deception that can happen to you and I if we're not careful. We feel like we achieved something when we had no price to do anything to get it. And just like what Christ paid, the price He paid on the cross, there's a price you and I are going to get for the price He paid on the cross to give you everything you have. And so if you're going to carry the cross, there's going to be some adversities, there's going to be some hardships coming your way. Things are not going to get better in the world, young people. And what everybody is telling you is it's going to get better. Listen, we want you to help you to become a better person, begin to understand the times, what's happening right now, and to endure hardship as a soldier, Amber. Mark 11:23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he will have asked whatever they say, right? Is that what that says? Now watch this. Today, I got to about the three-quarter mark of the rock pile, and Amber was struggling. And I said, you know, there she's struggling. And we have Brother Mike. And, you know, now he didn't seem like he was struggling, but he was being an encourager because he's had experience in things. And listen, for this older generation, our experiences is going to help you with your zealousness. Our experience is going to help you understand standards that you don't understand right now, and principles that, listen, are going to go, listen, they're going to go deep into your heart, and you're going to need it. Listen, when you have that opposition against you. And listen, when Amber was approaching the three quarters mark, and I said, oh, looks like she's not going to make it. That's what I said. But I think what happened was Amber kept saying, I got to go to that top. I got to go to that top. And then as she started coming to near the top, she's going to say, in fact, listen, I got to go to the top. I said, Amber, it's all right. You can have a little scenery here. She says, no, I want to go to the top. And for us people who want a spiritual hitchhike to be taken up into the heavens, how many would love to have a spiritual ride today to avoid the mountain? That would have been great. And that's what us most charismaniacs think. You know, we can just have the spiritual ride, this chariot take us up. And we'd love to do that. But how many know, listen, it took perseverance and hard work to get there. So we can say this tonight, about this afternoon, that Amber kept saying to her mountain, listen, you're going to be removed. You're going to be removed. Because listen, you're in the way, and by me saying, I'm going to remove you. And then when she got to the top of the mountain, there was no mountain anymore. She was on top of it. It done been removed. But what she said and what she did. And this is the time that we are coming into now. This is the time and the season we're coming into. God, listen, doesn't just want to hear anything anymore and say, what? Listen, some special dreams and visions that you got. He wants you to do it. Young people, won't you say do it?
Do it.
Just do it.
Nike.
Just do it. Nike? All right, Brother Nike. So what did Amber say? Listen, Amber said to her mountain, and her mountain was removed because she was on top of it, right? It was removed. And so now, listen, it's time to start saying. And keep saying and keep saying until that mountain is removed. And this is the time and season, young people, we're getting into. That, listen, your parents are not going to always be there to give you what you want to give. You're going to have to get up your rusty dusty and listen and get to work. And get a living, all right? We had the last camp, you know, it was just $50 for the whole week. Well, I can't cut any grass. It's too much money. It's pure laziness. But listen, there's a time that we've been so dependent on our parents and other people. There's a time now, listen, God wants us all to start growing up. You can't rely on your parents anymore. You can't rely on people next to you, because God sometimes will begin to remove those people from you so you can begin to grow up. In Exodus 16, you know how the children of Israel grew up? Because when they were in the wilderness, they said they looked toward the wilderness, and that's where they saw the glory of God. And it is in our wilderness now that we're going to start facing, we're going to see signs and miracles and wonders. And you know what? The neighbor won't even know about it. Only you will. And so young people, I want to put in my heart the things that I have been through to help you get to that, begin to possess that land. I am your drill sergeant in the spirit. And I will push you and push you until you get farther than me. And spiritual mothers and fathers here, if you're going to get jealous of your kids, listen, you have no right to even be in the Joshua generation or any generation unless you see your children doing better than you. That's including pastors and ministers and leaders. You will not see any greater statement than you say, listen, I want my son and daughter to do better than me and get better than me. And that's how we have to be behind these young people. I'm going to come back here, God willing, at the end of October with Pastor Doug Pishka here, and we're going to start taking you people out in the streets. And not just knocking on doors, but we're going to go to Starbucks, and we're going to go to the malls, and we're going to come up to people and listen, if there's anything we can pray for you about, we'd love to pray for you. Listen, is there anything that you need? Are there any needs or any prayers that we can pray for you about? And you're going to go with that attitude and that heart, and listen, you're going to start taking your city over. None of this sitting on your rusty dusty saying, oh, one day over the rainbow. We're on Facebook, and people always say, oh, you can't be in Canada. No, you can't be in this city. You can't be in this state. Listen, well, I'm there. And people think many times I'm lying on Facebook. How can you be in Canada and already be in South Carolina? How can you can be in Missouri already? How can you be in Vermont? Listen, I'm moving. I'm moving so much the devil doesn't have a chance to catch up to me. Amen. And being former bipolar and schizophrenic, I use those weaknesses. I tell people I'm tripolar now, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Young people, you realize that a few years ago, many, many years ago, I tried to kill my second wife with a tractor trailer. Yeah, isn't that something? Huh? Yeah, what do you think about that? Yeah. Yeah, you give a guy 12 amphetamines, he'll turn into a meanie. Devil start talking through the CB radio. You know, and I can remember going to Arlington National Cemetery. I was one of those tomb guards. I can remember going one night, I was bored and smoking a joint off John F. Kennedy's grave. And you're talking about a person, listen. And I got locked up in 3 psychiatric wards. Do you believe that? And what psychiatric ward? Don't even ask. You don't want to be locked up in a psychiatric ward. And I was on lithium and Haldol and Tegretol, now at the age 50 Geritol. Yes, it is. Don't go there either. I can remember being up in the 3rd floor doing the Thorazine shuffle. And, of course, we had the green bands, you know. And they said, you know, we called ourselves the Band of Brothers. The green means mental patient. Brother, I would change your shirt if I were you. and we would come down and says, oh my goodness, it's the psych ward, they're coming down. And listen, they would get our way, and we were like the Tasmanian devil. We eat everything in the way, just tear the place all up. And I can remember a janitor, he put some Percodan or something in his janitorial closet. And listen, I could sniff drugs everywhere, anywhere. And I said, man, that janitor just got some Percodan. It's yellow, man. I'm going for that. You know. And I took that Percodan and started taking it and just start, you know, I thought I was at the mall in the psych ward, you know. But you know what the doctor said? He said, for the rest of your life, you're going to be crazy. Am I still crazy, guys?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Never let the devil understand you. Always keep your enemy confused. If you want to go to New York City and fight New York City demons, okay, get a pack of cigarettes, okay, but don't smoke them. Put them right here, Marlboros prefer. A field jacket, mess your hair up, this, you know, like get your hair matted for 3 days, don't take a shower, and just walk down, walk down Wall Street like this. Everybody will leave you alone. The devil, listen to, you're a marble lights guy, I can tell. Listen, the devil loves, he loves predictability. He loves normalcy. He loves people that are normal. He loves to work with religious people because he doesn't have to do anything with them. Because he knows he has them. But listen, but you do with people that are on the cutting edge, like you and I, young people. Young people, your generation, you can jump off a 7-story building with a skateboard and don't even think anything about it. Minus the helmet. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for people, listen, who are going to just begin to the bend the standard and listen and not bend the standard, but just make the total things fulfilled. And He's going to use every one of you guys. You all right? Okay. Now turn to Joshua chapter 1. In verse 2. Brother, come up here a minute. I've picked on you enough, haven't I? You see that orchid over there? Okay, only through here, between this gap right here, I want you to try to go get that orchid. No, I mean, you got to go through this way. Come on, man. You ain't gonna make it, man. Who do you think you are, man? You just a little squirt. I think my brother's going to Australia. He's going to Down Under. By sitting down right here and saying, listen, one day that's mine, it's not going to happen. Unless you get up, listen. And brother, you didn't try hard enough. He's got to get to that orchid over there. No. That's his purpose and that's his objective. When God gives you visions and give you dreams and He speaks in your heart, this is what you need to do. You have to begin to find a strategy to go possess that. And you as a foot soldier, listen, you're never going to get anywhere by sitting down. You got to move forward. I know Pastor Doug's embarrassed. He's turning red. Now, yesterday, this guy was getting out of hand. I wrestled him. I took him out quick.
You pantsed him.
Huh? Took him out quick, yeah? Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and do what? Get another prophetic word? Get another prophetic word, right? Have someone say, yeah, you can do it, right? And never do it. You can do it, Amber. No, I don't think I can do it. Okay, guys, listen up. It says, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and this people, unto land I will give you, even to the children of Israel. Verse 3. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, as I have given unto you, as I said. Listen, your feet's got to keep moving. If you need to get to your goal and your objective, you got to keep yourself moving forward.
Amen.
You can't stop. If you got goals, if you got college, you got universities in your life, listen, don't let man or anything in hell stop you from going. You keep going forward. You guys hear me? If this is your church, if this is your church, you need to keep coming back to church. If you don't have a church, find a church home. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves as manners such as exhorting one another as we see the day approaching. Keep coming to church. Because listen, if you don't hear the word, you're not going to go forward. It's not going to be encouraging to you. Verse 7 of Joshua 1, only be strong and very courageous. See, here's the courage part. The courage part is the foot part. The courage part is the part that does. Remember, Air Force, they get information and revelation, and they know their inheritance. They know all the promises that in His word, but if it's never applied on the foot, you'll never see it. So this is why we have joined with Pastor Doug, a visionary versus a foot soldier, inclusive of the foot soldier. Listen, if you have foot soldiers with no vision, all you have people is just knocking on doors. How many of you know when you're having a bad day? When Jehovah's Witnesses knock on your back door. Only be strong, very courageous, that you may observe to do all according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. You want prosperity, you've got to be on the go. And a lot of reasons, a lot of people are having psychiatric problems, depression and oppression, because they don't have their purpose. God has created every one of you for purpose. He created you special so you can have purpose. If you don't find your purpose, you know what? You're going to find something else to kill the pain. Drugs, alcohol, promiscuity, things outside of marriage. You're going to begin to do things that are going to begin to kill the pain because you don't understand why you're not there. Young people, I've been a drug addict for 17 years. I was a drug addict for 17 years in and out of psychiatric wards. And just, listen, this is my third marriage. It's going to be my last marriage, by the way. I have a saying, my first marriage was lust, my second marriage was must, my third marriage was trust. Don't think about it, mustard. Verse 8, the book of the law. Hold the book of the law. Where's your Bible? Hold it up. Shall not depart from where? Amber, what were you saying today? You can do it. God said you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, right? So you use the book of the law to begin to have your mountain removed today. Was your mountain removed? Why was it removed? Because you climbed it. So listen, a computer game may give you exhilaration, may give you thoughts of or affirmation or confirmation that you've done something. But I tell you what, if you don't get out and apply it, you'll never see it happen. And what we're getting into now is a season where people want to hear preaching with itching ears to make them feel good because of the times that are coming on the earth. Make us feel good that it's going to get better and better. No, God is going to get greater and greater inside you. Because he says, my glory shall rise over you, my glory shall be seen over you. God is going to start using you guys, and his power and his anointing and his glory will start rising over you and will be seen over you. Matthew 13, 24 and 33 says this, let the wheat grow with the tares and the tares with the wheat. It didn't say that we need to escape it. It says we need to grow with them. So if you're, listen, if your ex-husband was an ex-con, lives across the street, that'll tear you up. That's a tear. You got to learn to deal with sinners now. All this stuff about running, getting your little farm and hiding from the world, that day is over with. You got to face reality that, listen, that these people need to get into church. And you with your religiosity and all your thinking, it's not going to help. That's why we're going to use these young people. Because they just want to have fun. Girls just want to have fun. I wish I had Cindy Lauper on my team, girl. And so these young people here, they're not thinking about anything. They just, listen, I believe they just want to please the Lord. It says here, verse 8, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Just get another prophetic word. Nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Amen.
You ready for another example? The one who was keeping us up all night. Second Samuel 21, verse 15 to 17. Young people, listen, let me be serious with you right now, okay? You guys believe in demons? You don't believe in demons? Yes. Fallen angels, when fallen angels rebelled against God in heaven, they came over here basically in the second heaven over here. And that's what, listen, that's what's over your cities right now. These principalities and powers, these fallen angels. They're very powerful. You saying, I bind thee in the name of Jesus, you ain't moving them. You're not moving them. It takes a lot more than just saying, I bind you and I remove you. Listen, off my city in the name of Jesus. Because here's this. The reflection of you removing or that thing being there is what's happening in your town. If you still have topless dancers, you still have adult bookstores, you still have bars and all this stuff, if they're still there, they are the reflection of these fallen angels that still have power in your town, in the community. Now, how do you remove them? If this is a family of four and it's a messed up family and the dad's on drugs, the mom's on drugs, is that the case? Just kidding. Their last names is the Messianics. Just kidding.
Messianics.
The guys come up here for you. Come up. Come up front and center. No, just you four. Now come over here. I need a demon. Okay, get over there. She makes a good demon, by the way. Now, I want you behind them. Just stand right there. Don't move, guys. Okay. Now, this fallen angel is influencing this demon. Demons cannot be cast back into the heavens or into the sky because they're foot soldiers too. Because remember, they were cast into this wine and into the desert place. They have to walk there. So they're foot soldiers, just like you. But you have greater authority and power than you do. Now, when something's moving your vase in your room, that's a fallen angel. Because basically it knows that you're about to have your breakthrough, and so it's got to rearrange the furniture in the house to scare the tars out of you. That's why it's very important. If you're going to watch the exorcism of Emily Rose, you're going to invite fear, and fear invites the devil, faith invites God. So that's why when you watch television, all this stuff, it's things are increasing, demonic is increasing, that these things are literally coming through your TV and through your internet and coming into your home and bringing fear in your home. When you're fighting with people, you're fighting with members of your family, the members of the church, when you're fighting, what happens is you cause the covering to drop off you. God's got to pull away because you have chosen another master at the time. And that's why it hits you with sickness. And you're continually getting hit and hit with sickness because the covering is down. It's a serious time to be in. So here's what happens. Now I need two soul winners. You two. Miss Viking. Now watch this. Remember, this demon has been assigned by the fallen angel, correct? Now when they come and soul win, not beginning just trying to change their mind in a religious way, but they're also coming with signs, wonders, and miracles. What we're going to have here, we have a dysfunctional family with drugs and alcohol, and these guys come in and change this. Now I want you to grab them and come and bring them to church. They've just given their hearts to the Lord. Come on, listen, guys, don't play. Come on, this way. Now take them over here to church. That's church. There's Pastor Doug sitting right over there. Take him over there. Now, demon, I want you to follow. Okay, stop right there. That familiar spirit, that demon, is not going to let go of you just because you go to church. When you start getting transformed and converted in the Word, where it becomes habitual in your life, that demon will flee. Do you see that? That's why he said, go in the world and make disciples. He didn't say just to convert them and win them to the Lord. He says, train them up. And because of our busyness, we don't have time for anybody. So God's got to raise another generation up. Because you still want your religious services. This demon right now has no more presidents. It has no more gates to enter in. He has no more doors to enter in and harass and molest these people anymore. So listen, so next, it's got to go and run somewhere to find another family to harass and possess or whatever. How many say that tonight? Many times you're not going to remove that principality. Guys, listen up. That principality, you're not going to remove that. But listen, you can remove the foot soldiers out of there. That's what goes in. That's God's job. Listen, as you bind together in prayer to have those. Listen, what was it? Was it Daniel 10? Didn't Daniel wait 21 days? And then he says, listen, after 21 days of battle, he says, I got to go fight again the prince of Persia and the prince of Greece. Where did they go? You think they just diminished? No, they were still there. But as foot soldiers with treasures and heavenly vessels on this earth, you can remove demons and devils and influence of fallen angels when you convert a family to Jesus Christ. Because listen, if your thing was working, why is hell still visiting your home? Why is hell still visiting the supermarkets and the adult bookstore industry? Why is it all still? Why is there still taverns and why are there still prostitutes out in the streets? Because if that certain territory was removed, those girls and those people would be removed. And it's going to come by you and I as foot soldiers taking over and occupying territories. Not just saying, get out in Jesus' name. No, listen, you get your sword and go over there and you cut the giant's head. You cut the influence off and the influence is removed. You get a drug addict converted, right? What do you do next? You train them up in the things of God. You got to retrain a drug addict's mind. Let me say, if we have a drug addict here, come over, brother. No, you in the orange, yes.
Okay.
He's going around breaking and entering, and he's taking drugs and everything. He's ripping mama off. Papa, I tell you what, you're a loser, man. You know, you never gave me that car, and he's taking drugs. You know what it says? What's it say to do to the drug addict? It says to bind the strong man, keep him down. Because as long as that drug addict's loose, that spirit is loose to influence. So you bind them. You put them in a correctional facility. You put them in a rehabilitation. But what do you got to do next? You got to wait time. Listen, you got to wait 3 days till he comes down from his DT withdrawals. Why? Because his mind is not sane. He still has the mind of the world. His mind is still messed up with drugs and whatever it is. And so he starts having clarity in his conscience. And then we start talking to him. You have to bind that strong man. That's why drug addicts, the best thing that can happen to them is they get arrested and go to jail or prison. Because we have a chance now to speak into their mind, will, and emotions, into their soul, and convert their mind. First of all, Christ comes in there. But listen, but God never saved the mind and never saved the body. He saved the spirit. So the mind has to be trained according to the word of God. So it means you have to have a willing sacrifice and discipline to do it. It is not a spirit like, oh, spirit, just put it on me. Oh, oh man, now I got spirit, you know, now this, you know, the chip is in, now, you know, I'm perfect. No, you perfect yourself by disciplining your mind, by disciplining yourself to come to church to hear the word. Where else are you going to hear it? So this is what's happening. That's why families are so messed up, because everybody is binding these fallen angels. They ain't moving for you. But you can go to their household and you can go to their territory and take it over. That's what's happening now. We're coming into evangelism now. Listen, when you talked to the gas station guy 10 years ago, he said, listen, get lost. Now he's saying, listen, I'm lost. What must I do to be saved? People are very vulnerable. You know why? Because they see things happening on earth. And young people, we're going to use you. Do you want to participate at the end of October? And listen, Pastor Doug and I go out and hit the streets with you. Go to Starbucks and go to the mall and see a person that's really, really sad and says, listen, sir, man, you look sad. You better lighten up. No, just kidding.
Thank you.
Listen, do you know God's got a purpose and plan for you?
No, I didn't know that.
That's right. He wants to use you.
That's cool.
That's right. He's got a, and you know what? We went, Pastor Doug and I, we went to, we didn't go to Hooters, just kidding. We went, we went to Chili's to chill out. And we were, and all of a sudden, I felt a prophesier give a word of knowledge to this lady, the waitress. And all of a sudden, Pastor Doug, we started talking to her. And all of a sudden, she started melting. Her heart started. And she says, listen, she says, you read my mail. And what's happening is we've had so much of the gifts of the Spirit operating in the church. We don't know how to operate out here in restaurants. And so young people have such a heart. They don't think about things. It just sometimes, you ought to listen to your kids because revelation and stuff is coming out of them if you listen to them. Because God's already put it in them. Thank you, guys. Just a few more verses and I'll close. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel and David. Brother, you right on. I'm going to start getting them droopy pants, man. David went down, and his servants with him fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. Why? Because, listen, David is getting older now. We got an older generation now. If you're very, very wise, and you're getting older, right, aren't you going to impart and pass the baton and begin to bring an inheritance to them? Amen. Wouldn't you start now, while they're young? There's churches right now. I mean, it's so dead. One time, a guy had a heart attack and EMS took the whole church out. If you're not investing in young people, it shows me where you are spiritually. If a church is just older people, I mean, that's where they're at. But listen, but if you're looking to have younger people, that listen, you have the heart of God, because then God is looking for a future. God never blesses the past. He blesses the present and gives you hope for a future. That's what he wants to do. So we have a church that's a very wise church. Brother Doug is not even from New Jersey, and he's a wise guy. Don't never let a New Jersey minister say, hey, you want a fresh one? Next one. Don't worry about it. Next one. Ishbanab, which was the signs of the giant, the weight whose spear weighed around John Killian's weight, he being girded with a new, a what? What kind of sword? See, that's why you're not getting any breakthroughs, because listen, you're not using the young people to have the new sword. If you're going to be a wise commander and a wise minister, you're going to use the young people who already had the sword for the new sword. Because your sword is old. It still works. But listen, it's not going to come into the dimension of where the young people are going to be at. And so with a new sword, thought to have slain David. David, listen, was almost defeated by this giant. Next verse. But Abishai, he was one of the three of the 30 of David's mighty men. The son of Zeruiah secured him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swore unto him, saying, thou shalt no go out to battle anymore or quench the light of Israel. See, the light is the older generation. You're the standard bearers. You're the one who's going to begin to put knowledge and wisdom of basic foundational principles of God into these young warriors. Some of you won't have the new sword to fight. Because I can tell how you are. If you're not getting out here fighting now, most likely you ain't going to fight in a couple years. You need, listen, if you get up right now and move with this next generation, listen, you'll be fighting. But there's a new sword out here. Only the young people, this next generation, will begin to identify that new sword. And David, listen, they told David, you're getting too old. I can remember climbing a mountain like that, man. I'd smoke that thing. I was taking a break every 2 minutes. Then some of the guys go, yeah, I'm just resting a little bit. 2 minutes later. The kids are just going up the mountain like this. It was like nothing to do. Us older folks, we're going like that. Oh, my goodness, my light is just about to go out. Oh, Elizabeth, I'm coming. I got up there, and we got to look at the view for like an hour, you know. Yeah, look at that beautiful view. You know, Brother Mike, and I asked him if this is all right. He said this was a new challenge for him today because he says, listen, he's afraid of heights. And you know what? He climbed the highest heights today. And listen, with the courage of God and with the courage of his will, guess what? He fought against those fears and he made it. Come here, Brother Mark. Mike, is it Mark? Was it? Matt, come here. Brother Matt, I want you to pick up Mr. Carl Eller. No, just like help lift him up. The Holy Ghost is moving, by the way, right now. You feel it? He's moving right across here. He's hitting Pastor Dorman first because he's the first one lined up at the bar. Now just lift that and go with him, brother. Now, you know what we're waiting for? We're waiting to... Now push him forward a little bit. No, bring him this way. Yeah, man. Just don't mess with him too much. We're looking for God to lift us up to that mountain. That could happen. That's, you know, there's a chance. But what are the chances the Holy Spirit just going to lift? And listen, where is he going to get his courage? Where is he going to get his courage? Where is he going to change his fears? If God is always making you be unfearful and making, you know, listen, you got to. The Bible says, if you want friends, what do? Make yourself friendly. It's time to start making some things happen because the Word already says it. It's already there. See, that's what Pastor Doug's talking about, the inheritances and the promises. It's already there for you. So now you got to take it and run with it. Well, I'm just waiting, you know, on my spiritual blessed assurance. Whoa. Now, brother, wouldn't you like the Holy Spirit just to lift you up?
Oh, yeah.
On the wings of love. On the wings of love. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Now, listen, watch this. This can be a deception. This can be a deception in Christianity that you're waiting so long, you've done past your destiny and your purpose. And you're sitting there waiting for the dove to lift you up. When God told David at Ziklag, he says, encourage yourself in the Lord. David says, all this has happened to me. That's happened to me. And that's the battle. Listen, they've taken my wife and kids. He said, encourage yourself in the Lord because your own men are about to stone you. Last one. Psalm 71, 17 to 18. Young people, here's what's going to happen tonight. We're going to line you up and the Holy Ghost is going to hit you. Okay, now, I want you to encourage yourself that you won't be afraid. Now listen, I'm not trying to, listen up guys. I'm not trying to put you down, but hardly any of you lifted your hands when the Bible says lift up your hands without wrath and doubting. It says to lift it up, right? What about the sacrifice of praise? We bring sacrifice of praise. Listen, you have to open your mouth and sacrifice to enter in to sense the presence of God. And some of us are going to feel like shovels, you know, like this heavy sand here, and I can't lift my hands up. But if you'll encourage yourself, because the Word says to do it, you'll start entering into the spirit realm. And when you come up here and shut the fanatics in your attics, which is your head, and start saying, I'm going to start receiving this, because listen, the Spirit of God is going to touch my spirit, which is right here. Now listen, you're not going to even know about the Spirit of God unless you're born again. What does that mean? God comes in and changes your heart. I'm going to challenge each one of you right now. Don't worry about these adults here. Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're born again? That you were to die right now, you'd go to heaven. Anybody not sure right now about this? Come on, Danny, be real with me. You know for sure? What about you? You. You don't look saved. What about you? You don't look saved. Huh? You don't look, are you?
Yeah.
You sure? Okay. Okay, guys, so listen, that's a prerequisite, the application for God living, listen, for living in you, that you ask him to come in your heart. All right? Watch this. Here's David. I'm going to close with this, guys. Don't be anxious. Oh God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and here too have I declared your wonderful works. Listen, we're getting you young. We're hitting you young with this. Because the older you get out here, it's going to be harder to know God. And so listen, this is one of the greatest opportunities of your life right now to know God. And David says, I knew God when I was very young. Folks out here, you got to get them young. I think Ron Luce said if they're past 21, the chances are like 80, 90% they're not going to get saved. You got to get them young. Next verse, please. Also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed strength unto this generation. I got some grays here. And what God has done and declared his power inside of me. Guys, listen up. What he's declared the power, and listen, I'm getting gray here. I'm 50, all right? Listen, I will not get out of this mission unless we show God's power in your life. Because a lot of what's going on in church, you're having a lot of fun, a lot of games, a lot of this, and that's good. But listen, God wants to have an encounter with you tonight. He wants to come and have intimacy with you. That means intimacy to the point where you and him can chat over a cup of coffee. God drinks coffee? Yeah. Ooh, coffee. There will be a Starbucks in heaven, by the way.
Yes!
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 I don't
We're
like it.
Frappuccino.
And so, brother, go back to the previous verse again. 17. Have I declared your wondrous works? So David says this. Listen, from young, when I slayed Goliath, okay, I got some experience with the wonderful works and signs, wonders, and miracles. And it's still here today. My wife and I were in India. She wasn't with me. We saw a 16-year-old boy raised from the dead. He was killed. Killed, just like that, by a Jeep. Wait, please. He was killed by a Jeep. And so we had no feeling. I'm hooked on a feeling. We had no feeling at all. We got down there. Another pastor from North Carolina, we prayed. Nothing happened. And I thought, well, almost 5 minutes later, he went like that. Just like God just drew a breath of air into him. And his breath, and he started living again. And listen, he lived and was raised from the dead. They had it documented on India Evangelical Team. It was documented by pictures and everything that this kid was dead. That's just the beginning of what you're going to begin to see. And now the religious people of the end, they can just sit in their churches and have their three hymns and three hers if they want. And just go, get out in 20 minutes. God's not even getting out of bed in 20 minutes. That's why you have to enter into his presence. Enter in. And what I want to do tonight, and this is the last night you're going to see me, by the way, until October, right? Listen, how many interested in going out in the streets? Let me see those hands. Are you going to commit to that? You guys going to be committed? How about you, Daniel? I could use your help, man. Yeah, I'll wear braids too.
Where?
Cornrows? Okay. And so listen, we have a commitment that Pastor Doug and I, listen, that we're going to begin to confirm to when you guys come back. Now I want you guys just to line up here. I want the worship team up here. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, it is.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want everybody just to stand up right now. Just stand up. Get in the attitude of worship. Brother Les, turn that to Hebrews 13, please, real quick. Hebrews 13, 15. Okay, in the natural, how do you get muscles? Huh? How do you get muscles? Right? Just hold up. Just lift weights like this. Right? All right. It's the same way you have to build spiritual muscles. And what you have to do is you have to sacrifice your spirit to the Holy Spirit that's coming. And however he moves, you open yourselves up to that. Now, listen, forget all your religion in the past. Forget all that stuff. And just have the presence of God begin to come over here and wash over you and let him feel your presence. You need to worship people. It says here, by who? By him. Who? By him. By Christ. Therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. The reason some of y'all don't see miracles in your life, you don't do it continually. You're ready to give up on something right away. Well, if you say something's of God, then it'll, right? It's God, right? Don't give up on your promises. Amber, do you have confidence today that, listen, you can climb a higher mountain? Why? Because you didn't give up. And when you don't give up on God's word, you know what's going to happen?
Winner.
Pastor Doug and Fiona, I see a lifestyle on them of continued blessing. You know why? Because they're blessing all the time. Now, when they stop blessing, God will stop blessing. So just because you think, well, I give an offering or I went to church the other day. No, it says continually. That is the fruit of our live giving thanks. See, when you're giving thanks all the time, that means you did something continually and it became a habit. And when it becomes a habit, guess what? Blessings habitually overtake you. Marsha, my wife and I were so broke one time, we couldn't pay attention. Trying to, scrape here. And then we started giving continuously. We started going to meetings in church, and we had had a revival breakout for 6 weeks, and that's why I'm out here right now. I'm on my 12th year in full-time ministry because of a revival that broke out when I didn't give up. I drove 500 miles for one service, got $25. But that night is what happened. A revival broke out for 6 weeks, and we went for 12 years overseas. Just because someone continually kept doing something over and over again because he trusted in his word. All right? Young people, listen to this. If you don't have the Holy Spirit covering you right now, if you're not in the fullness of God, these dark powers right now that are coming on the earth are going to start crushing you. And I'm talking about oppression, depression. That's why they're getting the monster drinks. They're getting them drugs to hype them up. Why? Because the kids don't understand why they feel depressed. But see, if God's power and his umbrella is over you, it's not going to affect you. Because in Psalms 91, it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide and rest under the shadow of the Almighty. And what happens is we play in the world, we play in God, we play in the world, and next thing you know, we're crazy. Listen, here's the choice you got to make. Either you're in God or you're not. If you're going to play around in the world and play in God, you're going to lose your mind. And it's called double-mindedness. And then you need medication for that. Listen, you're talking to one right here. Only thing I take is barley now. I can barley get through. Okay, young people, listen. Have the reverence. Have reverence. Lift up your hands. Close your eyes. Pastor Dorman needs you up here. Pastor Doug. I want you to say this. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I've heard your word. I've heard all about you. I've been in church. I've heard all about you in camp. But tonight, I want to know you in an intimate, personal way.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
God, I never want to be the same again.
God, I never want to be the same again.
And so I ask right now, that your power, will fall on me right now. In the name of Jesus, fall on me right now. I want every young person up here, please, fall right now. Thank you, Jesus. Someone get behind you, please. Thank you, Jesus. It's the power of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Say, dear Jesus, fill me with the Holy Spirit and power right now in Jesus' name. Touch me right now, Lord. Thank you.